Danny. Hey, Danny. Good morning, good morning. What things? I'll tell you what, Brenda, sit over there, second to the back row. There's no fans, there's no heat, it's hot.
Okay.
There you go, right in front of them. There you go. All righty. Perhaps, but... Over there, that's where the people that are, there you go, just shoot on over there, it'll be warm. What'd you say? Color code?
That's a good idea, Christy. That's a good idea. Color code the chairs.
All righty. That is the warm zone. Tune, Gail. I don't know why Ed is over there. I think Ed be over there because he loves his wife. All right, we're going to wait upon you for our morning tithes and offerings. If my ushers would come and George is slated to take the offering this morning, but his toe has bone sticking out of it. Who said? Yeah, that's what he said. Owie. And he said that he's got this compression bandage thing on it, and he was, he goes, it's the weirdest thing. I put the compression bandage on to keep the swelling down, but I lay on my back, and it blows up. And so I was in my chair, or I was in my bed, up and down all night, so I am not good. And he's what's happening is his toe looks like this. And so it rubs against his shoe all the time, and there's no skin up there anymore. And so they're talking about removing the knuckle or removing the toe. And he doesn't have the big toe near it. So we could pray for George. Anybody else got just something going on that you could use some prayer for? It might not be a missing toe, but it might be something. Up high, come on, up high. Oh, look at that, look at that. Look around. All right, somebody's got their hand up next to you. Even if you got your hand up, I just want you to lay your hand on them. We're going to pray for one another. Emily, right up here. Marie in front of you. Yeah, there you go. Just right there. Lord, I just pray for every need. We pray for George. Lord, the challenges that he has. Lord, I pray for Mauricio, the challenges that he has, Lord. And Lord, for each of us, Lord, that we just lift up our needs before you this morning, Lord, that you would be glorified in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Amen. I am reminded of a story that I shared with some of the leaders last month, but it was 30 years ago. 30 years ago, I remember an offering that was taken, and it was Lisa and I's old pastor, the pastor who married us, and he says he had two little boys, probably like 3 and 5, and they are making mud pies. Anybody ever make mud pies before? And he says, yes, my boys, they're making pies out of dirt, out of mud. And they come up to me, smiling, as happy as they can be. Daddy, look what we made for you. And he says, it's dirt. But they were so happy, and they were so proud, and they were so blessed. And as they brought their mud pies to their dad, they drew close to him. As we bring our offerings to our Father in heaven this morning, he doesn't need it. Bill Gates could be here this morning and write a check for $1 billion. And the Lord would look at it and go, oh, it's like dirt. But I don't know, I don't care if it's $1 billion or a buck. He says, you bring to me the whole tithe, and we can celebrate, and we can draw near to him with our offering. Amen? Amen. Lord, we come before you this morning, and we ask that you would receive our offerings this morning. Lord, there are some here that have nothing. Lord, it's like we bring dirt, but we bring it to you because we want to draw near. And so I pray that you would multiply this offering to meet every need in this church, Lord, that you would multiply the resources of the offerer this morning, Lord, that you would meet every need in their lives. And we'll give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, 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 amen. Let me tell you what we got going on this week and this month. This Saturday is Prayer Saturday, 1 hour in which we draw near to the Lord. And I hope, as I tell you about this, that you are just thinking, man, how could I possibly miss out on this opportunity? Step into the presence of the Creator of the universe for 1 hour. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you have that is more important going on. I'll let you know that for 20 years, on the second Saturday of the month at 5 o'clock, it's the top of my priority list. And I'm inviting you to join Tommy and my wife and others as we step into the presence of the Lord, and I guarantee you will be blessed. Also coming up, every day is coming up, is daily prayer. We have prayer right here at 9 o'clock every morning. You can join in on the Chag prayer page live. You can look at it anytime during the day. Also every day, we have a daily reading log, and I would say George has them. George has them back there, but George is not here, so Tommy can get you some of these. It will take you. I gave a Bible and one of these to Sugar Ray on Wednesday night. He was so excited, and I've given many of you these reading logs, and it will take you through the New Testament twice, the Old Testament once each year, and you will learn more about the Lord every day. Amen. As you start reading this, and Sugar Ray was asking me, how do we even find these books? You know, I don't know anything about this. I said, hey, okay, here we go. I'll give him a little info. About 7:30 or 8, 6 o'clock, I post a 5-minute synopsis or overview, daily devotion on that reading. So if you start reading it and you start thinking, I got no clue what they're talking about. Well, 5 minutes, we kind of review it. And you go, oh, okay. And after a month or two or three, Dave Ward up in Northern California finishes going through the Bible the first time this year. George is on his fifth time. And you too can make it through the Bible and know a whole lot more about the Lord. Amen? Father's Day. You know, that is not true. It's not on the 18th. It's on the 16th. The ladies are going. I've heard whispers of the fabulous extravaganza that is being prepared for the men by the ladies on the 16th after church. Men, you are invited. Ladies, if you know a man that's all alone, and believe me, there's a lot of them out there, they don't even have to have children, but we would love to have them join our celebration of fathers and bring them in, and even if they don't have kids, perhaps they'll become a child of God, and they can celebrate Father's Day from then on. Amen? And so that's going to be a great thing. Bring somebody. Don't leave them alone. Future Quest is a youth event on June 26th through the 28th, the last Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday night. I think we've been going to that for 10 years, all of 10 years anyway. It's about $25, and it's a late night, and we will bring your kids home to you. But it's a great thing, and so we'll be talking about that as the month draws to an end. And with that, I am going to let the children go to their classes. Youth can stay, and we are going to celebrate the Lord's table. The ushers can bring forth the elements. And Dante, a little round of applause for Dante, our new sound man. You could put us on light three, Dante, if you would. You know, these elements that are passed out, these are emblems of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. And Paul writes and tells us that Jesus destroyed the dividing wall of hostility between us and God through the sacrifice of his body. We come to the Lord's table, first Sunday of the month. Normally Pastor Scott leads us in this celebration, but he is on the East Coast. He's on someplace doing a teaching thing. And he won't be back for 10 days. But we celebrate this every first Sunday of the month. And we celebrate the removal of that wall of hostility. And the wall is removed as our sins are paid for by Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. The hostility is the anger that God has towards sin and resentment, frustration and bitterness. The anger is our anger at God for the coming judgment. And Jesus removes that wall of hostility by hanging on a cross and paying for our sins so that we can draw near to God and come close to him. Amen? On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. He was sitting with his disciples, celebrating the Passover feast called the Last Supper. He took bread and he broke it and he passed it among his disciples and he said, "This bread is my body, which is given for you. You partake of this. Remember me." So as we hold this bread, you just kind of hold it out. And realistically, you look at this pretty lame little piece of bread. And on its own, it's nothing. On its own, it's utterly inconsequential and insignificant. Could make a sandwich out of it. But we come this morning and it represents the body of Christ hung on the cross, given for sacrifice for our sin, paid a price that we could never pay. And so we come and we hold this piece of bread and it is representative of the most valuable commodity on the planet. Amen? Hold this up. Let's just pray. Lord, we thank you for your sacrifice, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you come near to us, Lord, that you hung on a cross so that we could draw near to you, Lord, that we wouldn't be enemies with you anymore, but you wash away our sins and invite us to become part of your family. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Everyone said? Amen. Amen. Let us partake of the bread of the Lord. After the meal, Judas had left to betray our Lord, and he took a cup, and he said, "In this cup is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins." We partake of this cup, celebrating new life. Paul says that we should not participate in this cup in an unworthy manner. That if we do, there are those who drink condemnation on themselves. come to this cup this morning and say, well, how could I participate in an unworthy manner? Well, to treat lightly of your sin, lightly of your weak, lightly of your choices. He says, think of my sacrifice as you participate in this, my sacrifice for your sin. So before we participate of this cup, let's just bow our heads. You just begin to think, Lord, how am I doing with you, Lord? My priorities, my desires, my purposes, my understandings, the choices that I've made, Lord. Am I living to glorify you, Lord? Or am I just wanting you to glorify me, Lord? Lord, forgive me for the things that I've done that I shouldn't have done. Lord, forgive me for the things that I didn't do that I was supposed to do. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you hung on a cross to change me, to transform me, and I'm going to move from where I used to be to where you want me to be. And I'll give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Maybe you're here this morning, and the Lord right now is just whispering to your heart saying, you don't know me. You've never surrendered your life to me. You're a million miles away from me. This cup is a mockery in your hands. And if that means anything to you and you want to change this situation, you can say right now, Lord, forgive me a sinner. Make me new. I want to live for you and to bring you glory. I'm going to do that for all my life in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed any one of those prayers, it's okay, Richard. Prayed either one of those prayers, you're good to go. And we can participate of this cup. Amen? Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross given for us. Makes us new. We don't treat it lightly, and we come to you humbly this morning to give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. You can, pass these cups to the aisle, and as you do that, Danny, change that screen, if you would, for me. Put it on one, the Zoom on the, there you go. And youth may be dismissed to go to their class. And turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter 17. New series that we are starting. Got this purple thing going on up here. Brand new picture. All righty. John chapter 17, if you're there, say amen. Amen. Me and you. Hallelujah. Bible says, I am coming to you now. This is Jesus praying to his Father about his disciples. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they, these disciples, may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. That's a good prayer right there. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and I have loved them even as you have loved me. Lord, I thank you for your prayers, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you hung on a cross that we could be transformed in our existence, Lord, that we no longer have to be far away, but that we can come near. If you come here this morning, perhaps stressed in your relationship with the Lord, distant in your heart, far away in your thoughts, I pray this morning that we all can draw near to him. And give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Father's Day is in 2 weeks. My father passed away about 20 years ago. I believe I'm older than my father was when he died. Man, I'm 58, a couple weeks. I was reminded of my dad. We grew up in Imperial Valley. And I remember talking to one of my friends, and I was probably 7, maybe 8 years old, and we were talking about our dads. And I remember telling him that my dad was out of the country. And he said, well, he's out of the country. Where's he at? I said, I don't know where he's at, but he's not here. And and he said, well, how often is he gone? And I said, my dad's gone all the time. And I remember him saying, I couldn't imagine living without my dad. It stuck in my heart. And it wasn't for years later that I realized that my dad wasn't ever gone. That my dad was in the Imperial Valley. That my dad was in our home. That my dad was at work. That my dad would get up to go to work before we woke up. And that he would come home from work after we went to bed. And I would see him maybe on the weekend. We work on weekends too. And I think he'd been gone all week. But he wasn't gone. He was just on the job. New series that we are starting is God on the Job. And we are going to be focused in June on the purpose and the plan of God for creation. That indeed, God is on the job. Father's Day, we celebrate our earthly fathers, and I thought in June that we would put a focus on our Father in heaven, that we might come to understand him more, and really, what does he do? You know, how close, because there's a lot of people that think that think about God just the way I thought about my dad. I don't know where he's at. He's on vacation someplace. He's far away. But this book lets us know that God is indeed very close. Amen? But we ask that question, how involved is our Father in heaven in what we got going on? And if he's that involved, shouldn't there be something going on about sin? I mean, maybe we see some of the sin being decreased around us. And if God is really close, and God is really involved in my life and in our lives, what about answered prayer? You know, you'd think that realistically God should be answering all of our prayers. And in the coming weeks, we're going to take a look at sin. And we're going to take a look at prayer. And we're going to see sin and prayer and all that stuff, how does that work into what God is doing in this creation? And if we take a look at God's work in sustaining and guiding creation towards its ultimate end, it is called providence. And perhaps you have heard of the providence of God. And it is a technical term, and I don't want to beat you up with technical terms, but it describes the effort, the work that God does maintaining creation and moving creation to its ultimate end. Because there is a purpose for creation. Amen? Amen? Creation does what? Creation declares the glory of God. Hallelujah. God is doing a work in creation, and God does a work in each of us. He calls us out of darkness into light, and our purpose is to declare his praises and to bring him glory. And so God is continuously at work in us, giving us opportunity to draw near to him, to come close to him, so that we can bring him glory. Amen? Title of today's message is called Coming Close. And we are going to take a look at the Lord today. First thing I want to tell you is that he is very close. Start reading in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. Bible says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things. Say all things, would you? All things have been created through him and for him. And here's this key verse here. It says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And so as we read the beginning of this letter to the church in Colossae, that we find out that indeed God is involved in everything. Now, it's not a leap to know that God created everything. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. You know that part, amen? And it says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, that by the seventh day God had finished the work he had been doing, so that on the seventh day he rested from all his work. Now, if God is holding together everything, it doesn't sound like much of a day off. Amen? Can I get a witness on that? Now, the Bible never said that God rested from everything. Bible says, Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, said that he rested from his work of creation. Jesus talking, John chapter 5, verse 17 says, my Father is always work to this very day, and I too am working. Now, buy you lunch, buddy. God holds creation together because creation in itself does not have the ability for continuity. It does not have the ability to exist or to persist. Creation on its own would just spring off into nothingness. Let me illustrate this for you. I have a picture up here of our solar system. You see the sun and you see the planets, and they are held together how? By gravity. And that gravity moves between planets and interstellar bodies, holding them together. So what? So they don't just fly off into nothingness. So God holds the planets together, and if you take a look, and we got any biology people in there, right? You have in the nucleus of a cell, you have protons, which are charged, and around that cell you have electrons. and the atomic structure. And so the protons attract the electrons. And if you didn't have this attraction between the protons and the electrons, what would happen? Those electrons just go flying off into space. And so what we see is there is a force that keeps the planets from flying off, and there is a force that keeps the electrons from flying off. And what the Bible tells is that God is that force, and that he is intimately involved in the big stuff and the little stuff and everything in between. Amen? And so we talk about him being close. We talk about him being involved. He holds the planets together and everything else. All right, let's keep reading. Matthew, we got a lot of Jesus' words today. Matthew chapter 6, 31 to 33, Jesus talking. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? What shall I eat, drink, or wear? Anybody worry about that this week? Come on now. Think about it, have to go shopping. You know, Lisa, JJ had the prom last night, and he's 6'7". You know, you ain't just going to go buy a coat off the rack if you're 6'7". Can I get a witness on that? And so they found this suit someplace. They're looking all over for it, and he had to get the sleeves lengthened, right? And so they go and they pick it up. The prom is last night. They pick it up on Friday. And instead of lengthening his sleeves, they had shortened them. The amount they were going to lengthen them, they shortened them. Now, I don't know what kind of like monkey man, you know, that. So I'm sure that suit is ruined now. But they found one other one in the basement that they could actually, and they got it. Now, they were doing a little worrying on that jacket. Amen? And sometimes you ain't got nothing in the fridge, and you might go, oh, man, what are we going to eat, or what are we going to drink, or how are we going to survive, or all that stuff. Jesus says, don't worry about what you eat. Don't worry about what you drink. Don't worry about what you wear, for the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father, the one who's holding together the planets, the one who's holding together the atoms, he knows. He knows what you need. Amen? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all this stuff, what you eat, drink, and wear, they'll be given to you as well. See, God cares for the planets, God cares for the cells, and God cares for his people. Now, in the verses preceding this, the Lord has said, Jesus said that God cares for the birds of the air. And that he cares for the lilies of the field. Says that he brings forth rain in season and fruit in season. And he takes all care of all this stuff. And in all this, it is no great stretch for God to make provision for you. There's no great stretch for God to make provision for you. All right. Just really focus on the kingdom here today. Hallelujah. Amen. In all this, we see just how close he is. And in this, we can come to rely that he's going to stay that close. Paul writes to the church in Rome, chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And because of that, because he holds the planets together, because he brings the rain, because he brings the fruit, because he holds the atoms together, because he says he's going to make provision on us, that means that we can lean on him, that we can trust in him, put a focus on the kingdom, worry about the kingdom, put a focus on what he's got going on, and that other stuff he's going to handle. Amen? Amen? God is at work, makes opportunity for us to draw close to Him. Amen? Amen. Now, let me try and explain this to you. Because a lot of people have a misunderstanding of how the creation works and how the Lord works. Now, this is my Makita grinder, and it is a fine, fine piece of equipment. Painted cars with this, and painted the Super 88 with this. Hallelujah. And it has a little switch on the side. And this bad boy will run even if you don't got your hand on the trigger. So what I can do is I can just go like this on my car, whatever I'm doing. Or I can just walk away, and it's just working on its own. And there's a lot of people that think that this is how God works, that He is able to put this creation on auto and just walk away, and it'll run on its own. He'll step in every once in a while when things get off track, like with Moses or with Jesus or something like that. But that's not what it talks about in here. Now, this is my drill. And I like both of these tools. My drill puts the trigger down and it works. Got no switch on the drill. I can't, if I put it down and walk away, it ain't doing nothing. I have to keep my hand on the drill and pull the trigger to have it work. This is how creation works. It's always working. God always has His finger on it. He never stops. He never grows tired. And He's always this close to each one of us. Amen?
Amen.
He never walks away. He never lets us go on our own. Hallelujah. All right, let's keep going. Now, see that top of there, number two. God could make life a lot easier. Can I get a witness on that? Anybody have a challenging week? Keep going. Oh, yeah, I got challenges going. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that challenge. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there you go. All right, this is Jesus talking, Luke chapter 21. I got another chunk right after this in a minute. Before all this, they will seize you. It's like, oh, let's not read that part. Before all this, they will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and put you in prison. You will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. And so you will bear testimony to me, but make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you defend yourselves, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. Now, God's providence, God's ongoing work, God's hand on you, on your life, on everything around you, on this creation, does not eliminate persecution. And you're thinking, well, why not? Well, let's take a look at that. Jesus told His disciples that there would be challenge. Now, so many people come to the church today, maybe today, but in general, they come looking for, to the church, looking for an easy way or a way out. Amen? Now, Jesus never said it was going to be the easy way. Jesus did say it's going to be the only way. I'll buy you lunch, man. Jesus said it's the only way. There's no other options. He says, I'm going to the cross. I went to the cross, and if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to follow me to the cross. And he says there will be challenge. Sometimes even the challenge will come from God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, Bible says, the Lord disciplines the one he loves. Now, how many of you love the Lord? How many of you want to be loved by the Lord? How many of you are open and willing to the discipline of God? Because it says that no discipline is pleasant at the time. And so often we're praying, oh God, please remove all this challenge from me. And oftentimes the answer is saying, I'm the one who's bringing it. He says that he chastens everyone he accepts as a son. And you see, it is often God's discipline that moves us down the path to the cross. That without his discipline, we aren't moving very quick. We aren't moving very far. We're kind of just sitting around on a couch. Can I get a witness on that part? It is the challenges of life. It is the discipline of God which prepares us so that we can find victory in our lives. Without challenge, there is often no connection to Christ. Now, some of you are freezing right now. I'm looking at Teresa. She's freezing right now. That's a challenge from me that gives you the ability to say, Lord, please heed me. No, actually. But you see what I'm saying? See, our challenges come, and they give us the opportunity in the midst of our struggle, in the midst of our trial, to say, God, I need to know you today. I need to find you today. I need to be transformed in my situation, and we draw near to him. See, he gives us opportunity to come close. Amen? All right. 1 Peter chapter 5. Chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. You are shielded by God's power. That sound good? Through faith until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer. And you say, wait a minute, I didn't come to church to suffer. You may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, that faith is worth more than gold, which perishes, that gold even perishes though refined by fire, that this faith may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. And this is a big deal here. But our trials are a testimony to God's greatness. Now, Peter is talking to Christians that live in what is modern-day Turkey. And they were undergoing persecution. They were undergoing suffering, not unlike what Christians experience today in the Middle East. And he says that these trials accomplish a purpose. That evil that comes at you, that evil that comes at us, that evil that abounds, God is able to use for our good. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We know that in all things, God works for the good for those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. He does not say in some things. He does not say in most things. He says in all things. And it does not matter. I was praying with somebody this morning. It does not matter if your persecution or your suffering comes from an evil neighbor or a parent or a sibling or a friend. It does not matter if your attack comes from the devil. It does not matter if your struggle comes from your own temptations or your own desires. See, God is able to use all of it for your good. God is able to use North Korea for your good and for His glory. And you think, what? God, what? Because it says all. God is able to use that shooting the other night in Virginia Beach for His glory. Why? How can that happen? Well, it speaks to His omnipotence, His great overwhelming power. You see, if He was just kind of powerful, if He was just as powerful as Donald Trump, there would be all kinds of stuff got to be worried about. But there's nothing that comes at God that He's not bigger than. There's nothing that comes to God that is surprising to Him. There's nothing that comes to God that will frustrate Him. And so because of His great power, He is able to use everything. He says, I can use that. I can use that to glorify You. Let me tell you a story. When we got here 20 years ago, we met Pastor Hong, Vietnamese pastor from Vietnam, living here, started church in his apartment, and we did work with him here, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years, something like that, and grew up a Vietnamese church. But he told me the story about when he first got saved, and he was a kid running the gangs in Ho Chi Minh City in Saigon, and got saved through the underground church in Vietnam. It's called the underground church because they'd arrest you if they knew you're part of the church. It was a communist country. And it's similar to the underground church in China or North Korea or Vietnam today. And he said so he started going to church, and he had this dream of these people that weren't Vietnamese. And they didn't speak Vietnamese, and he said they wore grass skirts. And I'm like, grass? It sounds like Hawaii or something. You know? And so he's going to church, and the leader of the underground church in Vietnam had been arrested for being the leader of the underground church in Vietnam, and he was being held in a prison camp up in the mountains, and his guards are these people that don't speak Vietnamese, and Hong knows nothing about this, and in fact, the guy has been witnessing to these people just kind of using sign language, conveying to them the truth of the gospel, and Hong goes to church. And he says that these three or four guys come from the leader of the underground church, and they say, we are ministering to these people. They don't even speak Vietnamese, but they are receiving the Lord as their Savior. We need some of you to come and to help us with this work. Well, the Lord has spoke to him in a dream, you know, like the day before. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm down. And there's like three or four of them went, and they went and they continued to do this outreach to these people, and the whole culture is converted to Christianity. And you think, God, what are you doing, man? How can you let the leader of the underground church get arrested? How is the underground church going to possibly survive? I mean, if you're working, aren't you going to keep them from being arrested? And the Lord says, I got a way bigger vision than that. Amen? See, He says He's able to use everything for the good of those who are called according to His name, according to His purpose. I hope that's you. How many of you guys had a hard week? Lord can use that for your good. Amen? All right. I told you I was going to come back to Luke 21. These are the following verses, verses 16 through 19, talking about how God's plan is eternal. You will be betrayed even by parents. How many of you got a parent today? By brothers and sisters. How many of you got a brother or a sister? Oh, yeah. Watch out. Relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. I'm thinking death could be a challenge to the plan. Amen? Everyone will hate you because of me, but not a hair on your head will perish. Stand firm, and you will win life. Not a hair on your head will perish. What do you think about that, Anthony? I'm thinking, what is up? And you know what else I'm thinking? I'm thinking about those 250 Sri Lankan Christians that were killed, 500 wounded on Easter Sunday. This is a month ago. 45 Coptic Christians in Egypt killed on Palm Sunday. The persecution of the church that happens in Africa by Boko Haram. Persecution of the church in Iran. Persecution of the church in China. And he says, not a hair on your head is not going to perish. And it's like, what are you talking about, Lord? I mean, he talks about death right here in the midst of this promise. That both me, Anthony, and I should have hair. Tommy, you got some. Aaron Bugs downstairs, he ain't got none either. It's obvious that Jesus has got something else in mind. And we see it right here, this last section of this verse. It says, stand firm, and in the end, you will win life. How do you win life if you're dead? How do you win life if you're handed over to death? And I have to let you know this morning that death for Jesus is no challenge to life. That as Jesus walked this earth, he had an eternal outlook. That we live forever. And that should you be taken out by your parent or your brother or sister or your friend, and you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you are killed today, that you're going to get a promotion. That you move from this life surrounded by sin and challenge, discipline, heartache, the devil, our culture, and you would go to be into the presence of the Lord. And he says, you stand strong till the end, and though you die, not a hair on your head is going to perish, because I got eternity in store for you. And that my Father in heaven is consistently and constantly at work in your life to give you opportunity to draw near to him, so that when you leave, you'll stay near. Amen? All right. Last thing I got for you this morning. Romans chapter 5. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also boast in our sufferings. And somebody's going, man, quit talking about the suffering. We boast also in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And I got to let you know that when life is easy, you don't win. A lot of people come looking for an easy way. That's a short way. It's not the eternal way. Amen? What he's talking about here is suffering, perseverance, character, and hope. A progression. And as we persevere, and we talked about this, to remain under, as we persevere in our suffering, as you persevere in your challenges, and how I had challenges this week? Challenges this week, who had them? You persevere in them, and you are going to develop character. You're going to see what is inside of you. And in the midst of your suffering, you are going to see some good stuff. Yoo-hoo! And you're going to see some bad stuff. And you can celebrate the good, and you can deal with the bad. And as you do that, you develop character. And that character, that means that which is refined or revealed by trial. So you go through these suffering, and you are persevering, and you're seeing what's in. You're seeing the bad. You're seeing the good. You're expanding on the good. You're dealing with the bad, taking the bad, and make it to be good. You develop that character. You develop that fire, that character, that internal fortitude that is revealed by these challenges, and you develop hope. Hope in what? Verse 2 says, hope in the glory of God. That we begin to get a focus off our sufferings. Paul said what? I've learned to be content in any and every situation. Well fed or hungry, I don't care. Rich or poor, I don't care. Why? Because my hope is on something else. And that hope, that the hope in the glory of God, hope in the esteem of God. That expectation, that desire of well done, good and faithful servant. You have overcome. See, you don't get that without challenge. You don't get victory without a battle. Amen? And it is in victory that we are able to come near to the Lord and go, yeah! Well done, son. Well done, daughter. I see the challenge that you had this week. And in that challenge, you grab onto me. Because I work to give you opportunity to draw close to me. Amen? At least you can come up and play. Come in close. Sadly, many in the church today are not that interested. Come in with a different purpose, a different vision. Come in thinking, God, why don't you just glorify me? I got this plan. I got this desire. This is what I want to do. Help me out in what I want. And realistically, you can come into church this morning and you can think, God, what do you need me to bring you glory for? You know, I could think that. What do you need me? I'm a 58-year-old man. What am I going to do to bless you? Lord, you can stop the sun in the sky for a day. Lord, you can flood this planet 40 days and 40 nights. Lord, you can raise the dead from their graves. Lord, you can heal the sick. You can give sight to the blind. You can have the lame walk. Lord, you can do so much. What do you need from me? It was 30 years ago. Walking down the street, said, Lord, I'll give you my life. And I said, Lord, I want to live for you. I want to live to give you glory. And he said, I can work with that. Several years later, he said, there's a small church in San Diego. It's going to be hard there. But you're going to do a work to glorify me. And you're going to find other people who want to work and glorify me. And I'll make opportunity for each of them to draw near to me and be transformed in their existence. And I celebrate because so many of you live to glorify God. You think about your challenge. Just bow your head with me. Think about your challenge this week. How heavy this world, our culture, the devil, your desires, how heavy all of it is. But in the midst of it all is a rope hanging down from heaven. Lord, holding on, says, grab onto me. Grab onto me, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Keep your focus on me. I'll make provision for you. Glorify me, and I'll take you to be with me forever. Lord, I thank you, Lord. I thank you that you've called so many of us out of darkness and into light, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you can use every challenge for my good, for our good. That you are that big, that you are that mighty, that you are that awesome. And Lord, I lift up every challenge I have for you, I had this week. I lift up every challenge this week for everybody in this congregation. And I pray, Lord, new hope, new opportunity to draw near to you and to give you praise. Worship team's going to come and we're going to sing. We're all going to stand. We're going to sing some songs. And perhaps this morning in your heart is resonating a message that last week didn't go maybe the way it was supposed to go. Maybe you got some stuff on your plate that's so heavy and you just need to offload it to this morning. Right here is a place to just meet with God and say, oh God, I had forgot how close you are. I forgot how intimate you are involved in my life, Lord. I've been carrying my own action for a little while, Lord. I'll put a focus on you, Lord. I'm going to let you handle my stuff, Lord, and I'll take on whatever stuff. Perhaps this morning you are sitting here and you've had a celebration of victory this week, and you want to just kneel down and you just want to just declare his glory, hallelujah, and say, oh, my Lord. Just pause 1 second. I got to just share this with you. This morning at 9:15, I got a blinding migraine headache. I got to where I couldn't even see. And I knew I was preaching this message, and I'm like, Lord, here's the challenge. Lord, I'm gonna lay it on you, Lord. I'm going to put my focus on the kingdom of God, and I'm going to let you handle all the rest. I felt almost no effects of that headache as I was preaching this morning. And I would imagine, you let me know if you're like, oh man, you are off. But in those things, in our challenges, we can come close to him. So when we start singing, I'm going to get down here, I'm going to be praising God. That I could even preach today. And maybe you want to do that too. So let's all come and let's celebrate him. Amen?